What a joy it is to see all of you here. I so do love coming to Kahila and fellowshipping with you, being a part of this group. Thank you. In this week's parasha, Va'ira, I appeared, we are introduced to the majority of the 10 plagues, the hand of Jehovah, which devastated Egypt, its economy, its people, its infrastructure, and its will. In his message for us today, I wish to discuss these 10 plagues, the plagues of Egypt, and why they are relevant for us today. Abba Father, I pray that your word sink into our hearts and not just to our ears. Help us to understand what is ahead of us and how we can prepare for this. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Interestingly enough, archaeologists and environmental scientists, evaluating their data, have concluded the 10 plagues really did occur, but rather than proceeding with the assessment they were caused by the wrath of Adonai Elohim, these men of science have evidenced the plagues were actually results of global warming and volcanic action, which occurred many hundreds of miles away. Their findings were telecast on the National Geographic Network, Sunday, the 4th of April, 2010. Well, there is scientific data then. The plagues did occur. They are not fiction. But to say they were not brought about by Jehovah is to show ignorance of the fact our beloved Yah created the environment and put all things into motion. I find it very curious. Scientists claim, with evidence supplied, if an event is caused by natural forces, Jehovah cannot have any role in it. Please forgive me, but I find this position to be incredibly arrogant, shallow, and narrow-minded. But that's just me. You may well ask, what relevance is there today of events which occurred more than 3,000 years ago? Interesting question, that. And I'm glad you asked. There is no short answer. Well, actually, there is. All we need do is look around our world today, and we will see the conditions for another set of plagues are in place. But rather than being focused just on one nation, they are poised to strike the planet. Not just to free one people, but to free his people, the elect of the world, believing Jew and Gentile. However, our focus is not on these plagues, but on the ones that have already occurred and their relevance today. So let's begin by examining the plagues themselves. Each of the 10 plagues, water to blood, frogs, gnats, flies, livestock disease, boils, hail, locust, darkness, and finally the death of Egypt's firstborn, animal and human, focused on a specific Egyptian deity and attacked a way of life represented by each part of the Egyptian pantheon of gods. First, water to blood. This first plague started with a pool of water just outside Pharaoh's palace and quickly spread to the Nile River and through the Nile to all the waters running through Egypt. Only the dug wells were unaffected by the first plague. Even the Israelites in Goshen were affected. There were three deities targeted by this first plague: Apis, the god of the Nile, Isis, goddess of the Nile, and Khnum, guardian of this mighty river. The Nile was the bloodstream of the land of Egypt. All the water for the majority of Egyptians, who also happened to live within walking distance, came from the river. And so every bucket or pail of water drawn from the Nile, or any above-ground body of water, also turned to blood. In effect, this was the beginning of the attack on the Egyptian economy and lifestyle. We read this passage this morning in Exodus 7, verses 20 to 21. Interestingly, the change of the water in Egypt to blood killed all aquatic life, thereby devastating a significant food supply for all Egypt, fish. Thus the goddess of fish, Hatmihit, was also attacked. Notice in Exodus 22, but the magicians of Egypt did the same thing with their secret arts, so that Pharaoh was made hard-hearted and didn't listen to them, as Adonai had said would happen, as we read in Exodus 7, verse 22. Again, I find it interesting there is an ethical principle emerging from the implementation of this first plague. Let's go to verse 19, where Jehovah says to Moshe, "Say to Aharon, take your staff, reach out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their rivers, canals, ponds, and all their reservoirs, so that they can turn to blood." Why did Jehovah not require Moshe to engage this plague? The ancient rabbinical commentators claim, since Moshe was carried and secured by the Nile River, he could not show disrespect for it. If there was a requirement for to show respect for an inanimate object, a body of water, how much more respect should be shown to a human being? The second plague was frogs. Due to the transformation of the frog from tadpole to adult, this amphibian has been a symbol of rebirth in many of the ancient Middle Eastern nations, Egypt included. Thus, Jehovah's plague of frogs was aimed towards the frog-headed goddess Heket. The numerous amphibian, normally inhabiting the River Nile and any tributaries, was considered sacred and could not be killed. To signify Jehovah's dominance over the goddess of birth, he caused the frogs to flood the entire land, including Goshen. We observe in Exodus 8, "But the magicians did the same with their secret arts and brought up frogs onto the land of Egypt." Were the Egyptian necromancers implicit in the devastation of the land through this plague of frogs? Notice this plague was so difficult for the Egyptian people, Pharaoh begged Moshe to entreat Jehovah to remove these pests from the land. Listen to his pleading in Exodus 8. "Intercede with Adonai to take the frogs away from me and my people, and I will let the people go and sacrifice to Adonai." How did Jehovah eliminate this threat? He caused all the frogs in the land to die. This caused a huge problem for both Egyptians and the Israelites in their cleanup. Listen to how this affected all. "The frogs died in the houses, courtyards, and fields. They gathered them in heaps till the land stank." Can't you almost taste the putrid smell? The third plague. We don't often use the word gnats these days. The names we do use are black flies, sand flies, lice, and yes, mosquitoes. Imagine the sky black with the flood of black flies, sand flies, and lice getting into people and animals' eyes, ears, and mouths, digging through hair down to the scalp. Imagine the diseases which are transmitted through the myriad of gnat bites received. Here the third plague focused on the Egyptian gods Geb, deity of the land, and Set, deity of the desert, from which these flies emerged. This was the first plague the magicians of Pharaoh's court could not duplicate. As a result, they declared, "This is the finger of God." You may notice only the first two of these set of three plagues were announced to Pharaoh before they occurred. The third plague, gnats or biting flies, occurred unannounced. Thus, the first two plagues, blood and frogs, acted as witnesses to the existence of Jehovah, as we read in Exodus 7:17, "This will let you know that I am Adonai." The third plague, then, was imposed unannounced, becoming a punishment directed at Pharaoh and his people, since the principle of people suffering for the evils of their king was well established by this time in history. It should also be noticed the first plague, blood, was announced and implemented at the River Nile, the symbol of the heart of the Egyptian agricultural economy, and Pharaoh's lifeblood, pun intended. The second and the third plagues, frogs and gnats, were implemented from the palace, the symbol of Pharaoh's arrogance and the seat of his power. These sites were chosen because Jehovah wanted to demonstrate to Pharaoh clearly he was powerless to defy Adonai's will. It is a shame Pharaoh took so long to get the message, and his people had to suffer so greatly. Each of these plagues lasted 1 week, 7 days, beginning on the new moon, the start of the new month, with a period of waiting which lasted the rest of the month. This provided Pharaoh and his people an opportunity to reflect upon the plague and to make the wise decision to accede to Jehovah's demands to let the Israelites leave Egypt. When Pharaoh signaled his intent to defy Jehovah, a new plague began on the new moon. How do we know this to be the case and not just reading into Scripture that which is not there? The answer to this question is actually hidden within the Hebrew text and forms one of the deeper mysteries of Torah, which the ancient commentators have attempted to explain. Other more modern commentators have rationalized the plagues varied in length from 7 days to no more than a day or two, given the severity of each plague, with the last plague lasting only one night. Thus, they reasoned all the plagues required only 40 days, the Hebrew number of purification. Then we come to swarms. This fourth plague presents us with another mystery. Most English translations claim the swarms consisted of flies, and specifically a nasty flesh-eating fly similar to a deer fly. However, ancient commentators of the Hebrew scripture interpret the word arav as a mixture of wild beasts. They claim this mixture consisted of many different aggressive wild beasts, including snakes and scorpions. One understanding shared by all translations is the departure from the pattern established in the first three plagues. Only the Egyptians would be attacked by the swarm, as is clearly announced in Exodus 8, when Moshe warned Pharaoh, "I will distinguish between my people and your people, and this sign will happen by tomorrow." It has been written, "Jehovah removed from them their natural fear of humans, which allowed these beasts to wander into the homes of the Egyptians, creating havoc and putting people's lives in danger." The Hebrew text goes further to say even the ground was teeming with wild beasts, meaning the animals which nested in the earth came up even into the dirt floors of Egyptian houses. This then was the first of the plagues which caused more than annoyance or an inconvenience. This was a plague which threatened the safety and sanctity of the home and persons. Once Pharaoh realized the extent of the damage caused by the fourth plague, people were made ill and even death was present from snake and scorpion bites. Infants were snatched from their cradles. He offered the Israelites an opportunity to sacrifice to Jehovah in Egypt. Moshe responded to that by claiming, "It would be inappropriate for us to do that, because the animal we sacrifice to Adonai, our God, is an abomination to the Egyptians. Won't the Egyptians stone us to death if before their very eyes we sacrifice what they consider and an abomination," as we read in Exodus 8, verse 22. The Egyptians worshipped sheep, the very animal the Israelites would be sacrificing in their worship service. However, as soon as Moshe interceded on Pharaoh's behalf before Adonai Elohim, Pharaoh recanted and denied the Israelites an opportunity to leave Egypt. And then we have the livestock epidemic. This epidemic of massive proportions, a disease falling upon all the Egyptian livestock, cattle, sheep, camels, horses, donkeys, was an escalation of the severity of the plagues. Once again, one of the central elements of the Egyptian pantheon of deity was attacked. This time it was Hathor and Apis. Hathor was an interesting idol. She was also called the Great One of Many Names, since she was influential in all aspects of Egyptian life and death. Apis, known as the bull god, was a lesser deity than Hathor, but nonetheless venerated widely. But back to the plague. Once more, the plague was unannounced, and Pharaoh had an opportunity to relent to Jehovah's demands. However, he continued on his path of hardness, pride, and he refused. The form of Moshe's warning to Pharaoh is of significance here. In previous warnings, Moshe had been directed by Jehovah to deliver the warning with firmness. However, with this plague, the warning was given with severe urgency. Why? Unlike the other plagues, which were pulled back when Pharaoh requested, this was the first plague from which there was no recovery. Once the animals were dead, they were dead. It would be too late, and the damage would be permanent. Let's read a few verses describing this plague, beginning with chapter 9 and verse 6. "The following day Adonai did it, all the livestock of Egypt died." Here we are told all the livestock in Egypt died. However, in verse 10, in reference to the sixth plague, we learn, and they became infected sores on men and animals. And then again in verse 19, we read, send and hurry to bring indoors all your livestock and everything else you have in the field. Is there a contradiction here? In verse 6, we're told all the livestock in Egypt died, but in verses 10 and 19, we are left with the impression there was still livestock. How are we to interpret this apparent contradiction? I believe, and am supported by ancient commentators, there are two possible explanations. First, the livestock killed by the disease were all out in the fields, and all those animals inside were spared. That, to me, is the most logical response to the question. A second explanation lies in the possibility animals were purchased and imported from other countries, or were purchased from the Israelites, since their livestock was spared. Given there was only a few weeks' grace between this plague and the next, there might not have been sufficient time to import animals from outside Egypt. However, I will leave you to make your own conclusion. And then we have boils. The sixth and final plague to be discussed today was a disfiguring attack of boils and skin diseases upon all human and animal life inside Egypt, excluding Goshen, the home of the Israelites. Listen to the account of the plague as noted in Exodus 9. Adonai said to Moshe and Aharon, take handfuls of ash from a kiln and let Moshe throw them into the air before Pharaoh's eyes. They will turn into fine dust over all the land of Egypt and become infected sores on men and animals throughout Egypt. So they took ashes from a kiln, stood in front of Pharaoh, and threw them in the air, and they became infected sores on men and animals. The magicians couldn't even stand in Moshe's presence because of the sores, which were on them as well as on the other Egyptians. The deity targeted by this plague were Sekhmet, Sunu, and Isis, all of which had something to do with health and disease. In the introduction of this plague, we see a clear connection to the goddess Sekhmet, who, it is reported, created the desert with her breath. Notice the instructions once more. Adonai said to Moshe and Aharon, take handfuls of ash from a kiln and let Moshe throw them into the air before Pharaoh's eyes. Both Aharon and Moshe took two handfuls of ash, but it was Moshe who was charged with throwing four handfuls of soot into the air. Why Moshe and not Moshe and Aharon? Well, Moshe was the agent of Adonai Elohim, and it was up to him, as charged by God, to bring this plague onto the Egyptians. From this small amount of ash, Jehovah's miraculous judgment on all Egypt occurred in the form of boils, when the ash touched the bodies of every person, man, woman, and child, and every animal in Egypt alone. Once more, the Israelites were spared. Even the Egyptian magicians and necromancers were unable to replicate this plague and were too ashamed, let alone grievously assaulted, to stand before Moshe. Here then, we have the second set of three plagues. We notice they follow the pattern of the first three, in that Jehovah commanded Moshe to warn Pharaoh of the first two in the set, but not the third. However, here is where the similarity ends. These three plagues affected only the Egyptians. Jehovah wanted to make a clear distinction between Pharaoh's people and the people of Adonai Elohim. In our next message, next Shabbat, I will review the next four plagues and draw a clear relevance between the 10 plagues over 3,000 years ago and our situation today and tomorrow. Abba Father, I pray that we begin to contemplate how you have used the plagues of Egypt to bring justice upon Pharaoh and his people for their harsh treatment of the people of Adonai Elohim Tzevaot and their turning their backs on you and worshiping idols. Help us to make the connections between these and the possibility of plagues which will come upon the peoples of the earth who oppose and harm your people, the elect of Israel, and who reject you and worship their idols. In your beloved name we pray. Amen.